Thank you. Good evening. I welcome you to the 22nd annual Hanging to the Green service at Main Street United Methodist Church. During the Advent season, we prepare for the one who has come, whom we expect to come, and who will come again. In this season, we recall God's entering history as one of us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We prepare our hearts so that God will find room and expression in our lives. As we proceed through the Advent season, we pray for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. During Advent, we look forward to Christmas, the fulfillment of God's love for all people. Through many generations, we have had reminders of Jesus' birth and the beautiful symbols of music, customs, and tradition, so that we will not forget what our God has done. In the hanging of the greens, we share with Christians through the ages the memory and anticipation of Christ's coming. We festively decorate our church with the symbols of life and joy and hope. At the Passover celebration, Jewish children ask, "Why do we do this? What does it mean?" The story of the angel of death passing over the homes of the Hebrews is retold so that the generations will not forget the mighty act of God. Christian children will ask, "Why do we do this? What does this mean?" We tell the story again and then proclaim, God is with us. Jesus Christ is born. Stand if you are able for our call to worship. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King?
With the branches of cedar, with the tree of royalty.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the Christ?
With garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green.
How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of the prophets.
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Glory to God in the highest.
Thank you. be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy Father, we long for the simple beauty of Christmas, for all the old familiar melodies, words, and symbols that remind us of that great miracle when He who had made all things came one night as a babe to lie in the crook of a woman's arm. But in that longing, let us even more yearn for your renewed presence among us, even as we celebrate and expect the coming of your Son. Before such mystery, we kneel, as we follow the shepherds and wise men to bring you the gift of our love, a love we confess has not always been as warm or sincere or real as it should have been. Now, as we enter into this Advent season, we pray that love would find its beloved and from you receive the grace to make it pure again, warm and real. We bring you our gratitude for every token of your love, for all the ways you have heaped blessings upon us during the years that have gone. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, that as we begin this four-week journey of expectation and hope, we may do it in a manner well-pleasing to you. May all we do and say, every tribute of our hearts, bring honor to your name, that we, your people, may remember your birth and feel your presence among us even yet. May the loving kindness of this Advent season and the true spirit of Christmas not only creep into our hearts this season, but there abide, so that not even the return to earthly cares and responsibilities, not all the festivities of our own devising may cause it to creep away weeping. May the joy and spirit of Christmas remain with us now and forever. In the name of Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins, even in that lovely name we pray. Amen.
He is coming.
From the prophets of the Old Testament.
He has come.
It's the announcement of the angels and the declaration of generations since his birth.
He will come again.
It's our proclamation guaranteed by the promise of God. The coming of the holidays find many people suffering anxiety, depression, withdrawal, even despair, marking the holidays with major events in their lives that are unpleasant. As the prophets encourage the people not to give up waiting for the Messiah, Christians can offer consolation, hope, and encouragement to those in darkness.
Waiting for something to celebrate.
Bringing life to a darkened world.
Thank you. The Advent wreath is a simple circle of evergreen branches. They testify to the continuation of life, bending the branches so that the ends touch to form a circle, further symbolizes life without end. Four candles encircle a central Christ candle. The candles signify God's Son as the light of the world. There are four candles for the 4 weeks in Advent. Each Sunday in Advent, we light the candles from the preceding weeks, along with a new one. The Christ candle is not lit until Christmas Eve. The Advent wreath, with the increasing brightness from the candles, witnesses to the light that cannot be put out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Evergreens have long been considered symbols of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature, and an indication that the faithful will experience eternal life in communion with God in Jesus Christ. The Advent custom of decorating with evergreen branches comes to us from peasants of the Middle Ages, who believed that preparation should be made for the coming of Jesus. On the first Sunday of Advent, each family would gather evergreens and place them near the hearth in their homes. We continue this tradition today as we hang the greens in our sanctuary, our church home. As Isaiah 60:13 tells us, the glory of Lebanon comes to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. The poinsettia symbolism is twofold. The star-shaped formation of the red leaves reminds us of the star shown at that first Christmas. The red flower reminds us of blood of Jesus upon the cross, the Jesus who is our Savior.
Thank you. The meanings behind many of the symbols we use in our Christmas decorations come from legends rather than pure facts. One Christian legend says that the holly was not originally an evergreen plant, but that one cold winter night, the holly miraculously grew leaves. Why? To hide the Holy Family from Herod's soldiers. Another legend about this Christmas plant says that a little orphan boy was living with the shepherds when the angels came to announce the birth of the newborn king. Having no gift for the baby, the child wove a crown of holly branches for its head. But when he lay it before Christ, he became ashamed of its poverty and began to cry. Miraculously, Jesus touched the crown, and the leaves began to sparkle and shine. The orphan's tears, where they had fallen onto the gift, turned into beautiful scarlet berries.
The Christmas tree is a wonderful sign of God's love and faithfulness. Never losing its green color, the Christmas tree reminds us of God's steadfast love, which endures forever. Legend has it that Martin Luther was the first person to decorate his home with a Christmas tree. Luther was walking home one Christmas Eve when he saw the glitter of the stars shining through the snow-covered branches of the fir trees. Luther was so awed by the sight that he took one of the trees home with him and placed candles on the branches to demonstrate to his family what a glorious sight he had seen. From the first Christmas tree in the Luther household, the custom spread. Now Christmas trees are used in homes, in churches, and in communities, wherever the birth of Christ is celebrated and the love of Christ is shared. The use of chrismons on the tree began in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia. Chrismons are Christ monograms or handmade designs forming the familiar symbols of the Christian faith. These symbols speak to Christians of the deep meaning of the gospel. The fish is the most ancient symbol for our Lord and was used as an easily recognized secret sign by early Christians. The first letters of the Greek words for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, form the Greek word for fish. The anchor cross was called the cross of hope by first century Christians. It reminds us that Jesus is the hope of the world. The star, angels, lambs, and other Christian symbols are used for chrismons. Each of them helps us recall the Christmas story.
Please join me in the blessing of the Chrismon tree. Holy Lord, we come with joy to celebrate the birth of your Son, who rescued us from the darkness of sin by making the cross a tree of life and light. May this tree, arrayed in splendor, remind us of the life-giving cross of Christ, that we may always rejoice in the new life that shines in our hearts. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Christmas decor would not be complete without the presence of the nativity scene.
We remember the first Christmas night as Mary and Joseph took shelter in a stable, using a manger or feeding trough filled with straw for a crib. Mary lay her newborn baby down to sleep. Cattle, donkeys, and other livestock didn't seem to mind the invasion of their home by the weary travelers. As the angels proclaimed the news of the birth to shepherds out in the field, excitement filled the air. Months later, wise men from the east followed a star to Bethlehem in search of the baby, the king. With them, they brought valuable gifts, which they presented to the child as they worshiped him. By the time the wise men found Jesus, he and his family had probably found more suitable housing than the stable. Nevertheless, we associate the wise men with the first Christmas night and often complete the nativity scene with the Magi and their camels.
Soft feeling.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Send, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world the light of your Son. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people, and so direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way revealed to us. as the shepherds of Bethlehem walked with joy to the manger where he dwelt, who now and ever reigns in our hearts forever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessing. We are blessed in the knowledge that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it is a Word that gives us light in the darkness, a light that the world and that evil cannot put out, a light that is our hope, the light of Christ. In the light of Christ, you have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in this Advent and Christmas season and always. Amen. Thank you.